Good morning. Hallelujah. Let's start with the important stuff. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As a pastor, there's one thing that stands out with regard to the pulpit is that there's a responsibility that goes with the pulpit. We're here to bring the heart of God to the people. And in doing that, you can't just trust anybody. So I count it a great honor to be able to come and be given the privilege, and it really is a privilege, to be able to come and to teach from this pulpit. So it's just a blessing to see you guys, bright, chipper. Some of you even smile first thing in the morning. As we come in this morning, I'm primarily a teacher, so I brought something to prove it, an object lesson. See, teachers have object lessons, pastors have sermon illustrations. With me, you get both. But I need help. So, Evan, come on here. Now, I've explained to him exactly what I want him to do, but I haven't really given him any more than that, right? So, there are two things that we're going to talk about this morning. One is faith and the other is love. So that's what these represent this morning. Which one's which?
Faith, love.
You sure?
Positive.
You're wrong.
Oh, love, faith.
Right.
There, got
it. How do you know that's love?
It's red.
The red of the blood, right? Yeah. He's nuclear qualified, and what that means is given a 50-50 question, he'll get it wrong 99% of the time. Just pull. Isn't this interesting? Anybody have any questions so far? Squeeze him for all he's got. Don't spill it. Now, as you're doing that, is there anything special about either one of them? Not really. Where's your background music? See, people who are really spiritual have background music. There you go. There you go. Thank you.
Welcome.
You can sit down. Now, you may be looking at that and thinking, what in the world is he up to? Well, let's start out in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Notice that it says, add to your faith. Faith by itself is not enough to accomplish what God wants to do in your life. Now, everything that we do has to have faith attached to it. Okay? We know that Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay? But faith by itself doesn't get it done. For those who that's a sudden revelation, we're not done yet. Most of what people call faith isn't. What is faith? I know. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That helps you a lot, doesn't it? Faith is believing that what God said is absolutely true and then acting like it. See, if you just believe it but you don't act on it, you're a philosopher. It's just theory. You've never proven it. But if you act on it, then you prove that the word is true. Think about Abraham, the father of faith, right? Abraham was given a word from God. He said, I'm going to give you a son. This son is going to be your legacy. And from your son, I'm going to bring forth nations. Yes. And Abraham went, yes! 75 years old. 89 and teenagers, I don't know. My son, my oldest son, has the youngest children. He started having children when he was in his 40s. We sat down, had a long talk. He said, Dad, he said, this is scary, having kids this age. I said, it's scary having kids no matter what your age. I said, but you better get used to a question. And he said, what question is that? And I said, when you're at school with your kids for an event and they ask you, is this your granddad? You have to be able to say with grace, I'm his dad. Abraham had a word from God, correct?
Yes.
That word is a sure word. It was going to come to pass. How many of you have ever had to wait for anything? Aren't you just thrilled when you have to wait? You go to the doctor's office for a 10 o'clock appointment, and at 11:30, you're still waiting. Because his time is more valuable than yours, evidently. How many of you just, you walk in the office, the first thing you do is shake his hand and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for making me wait so long. No? When we have to wait, we tend to get a little frustrated, don't we? We tend to get to the place where we go, why do I have to wait for this? You can see it, right? Abraham is, he's out doing his thing, and God, you said you'd give me a son. You said you'd give me a son. You said you'd give me a son. It's been 10 years. We're not getting any younger, you know. Now, I don't know about you, but at 75, that already was past where I thought about the idea of, I mean, I'm looking at having children at my age and going, no, thank you. Mm-mm. So having children keeps you young. I don't want to be that young. I hang around with my grandchildren, and by the end of the day, I'm worn out. Abraham says, oh, I understand. I just haven't given God the help he needs. Sarah went, yeah, it's your problem. If you'd have done what you were supposed to, we'd have had kids by now. I mean, we're all speculating now, right? When you speculate, you get in trouble. But we do know that they had some discussions about things, and they talked about why it wasn't working. This just isn't working. It's just not working. It's just not working. And there's a reason for it. The reason's never God. Amen?
That's right.
Come on. God never lies. Amen. If he's spoken a word, that word will come to pass. Faith latches on to what God says and acts like it's true, because it is. So when I'm talking about what God has promised me, I talk about it in the present tense. He has given me. It's mine now. Peace is mine now. Patience is mine now. Prosperity is mine now. I'm not waiting for it. It's already mine. Health is mine now. Wisdom is mine now.
Yes.
Come on. As we latch on to that promise, if it doesn't appear to be working and we try and help, we end up like Abraham with an Ishmael. We make a mess of things. Or at least I do. Trust me, I got enough messes that I could testify to. More than once, I've said, you know, oh, well, God must have meant. No, God said what he meant. Sometimes what he means is sit down and shut up. I was sharing with Randy, we got to spend 4 days at our house in North Carolina. First time we've gotten to stay in the house in 15 years. Now you may be thinking, that's a little strange, your house, and you haven't stayed there in 15 years? Well, there's a long story behind it. We started shopping for a house in North Carolina because God had spoken to us, gave us a sure word, told us where we were going and what we're going to be doing. How many of you would love to live in a place called Kill Devil Hills? I love it. Where do you live? Kill Devil Hills.
Nice.
We found this house and we fell in love with it. And I know it was God because Lynn and I agreed. That never happens. That is a supernatural experience. And I was telling Randy that I mean, it was just so absolute in the surety that we had. This is the fulfillment of the promise that God made to us about this. And I remember coming walking across the porch as we're leaving. I went, God, this is the house. This is the place. We agree. This is the house. Can I have it? And God said, no. I can't trust you. And I was gut punched. Well, why would he say such a thing? We had just taken the church in Man's Choice. And God knew if he gave me that house at that instant in time, within 6 months, I would have moved to North Carolina and the church would have been looking for a pastor. And that wasn't his plan. So he couldn't give it to me. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And you ask and don't have it because you ask amiss. If your motivation isn't right, it doesn't matter how much faith you have, God can't give it to you. Your motivation has got to be God's motivation, and God does everything motivated by love. Everything. And I remember coming away from that just crushed. That was 15 years ago. So how did we get from there to where we are now? Well, we stayed in faith. We didn't give up. The house sold. I cried. And 2 years later, it was back on the market for less money. Now must be the time. I remember we went down, we looked at the house again. There was virtually nothing changed and less money. 5 acres of maritime forest on the water. Gorgeous. Absolutely. Right, Randy? Gorgeous place. And we looked at it and just that peace settles on you that this is the will of God. You know this is the will of God. Just confirming what he'd already spoken to us. Right? We still had our faith out there. We're still believing God. And I walked across the porch a second time. And I went, now, God? And he said, no, I can't trust you. And he was right. I'd have packed up and been in the car on the way to North Carolina within 24 hours of him saying yes. And I walked across to get in the car and I said, look, I understand what you're saying and I understand why you're saying it, but show me what it's going to take for you to trust me so that we can have what you've promised. And there was dead silence. See, faith isn't based on what you see. Faith is based on what God says. And he'd already spoken everything he needed to speak to us. So we came back to Pennsylvania, and we put our hand to the work, and we have faithfully done everything that God's told us to do for the last 14 years. And we aren't backing off. Not one little bit.
That's right.
Last year in March, we're sitting in the living room and Lynn squeals over in the corner, hey! I said, what? She said, our house is back on the market. I said, praise God. She said, it's twice as much money. I went, hallelujah. She kind of looked at me and I said, because now I know it's got to be God. We called and we got an appointment. We went in, we saw the house. And it dumbfounds me how people can say, well, God, you know, he really doesn't care about the things that go on in people's lives. God cares about all the details. In one room in that house, there was a scripture painted on the wall. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That was painted on there by the original owners. It wasn't covered up by the successive owners. And it was still there on the wall. And I remember walking into that room and going, duh. I trust you. He had given me a vision just before that of being on the deck and the sun shining on the Sound. And it was just beautiful. And I remember seeing myself standing on that deck, my hands in the air, just worshiping the Lord. So I did. I walked out on that deck and I put my hands up in the air. And I mean the presence of God just like a flood just came all over me. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because just confirming what we already knew was true. See, faith doesn't change with circumstances. All circumstances do is challenge us to stay in faith or confirm what we've been believing for in the first place. If you've got a word from God, that's the end of the discussion. There's no more debate after that. And I remember as we drove down, the Lord had spoken to me and he said, I want you to go to every corner of the property and I want you to speak over that property and take possession. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the courthouse does not honor that. They won't give you keys because you made a confession over the property. But in the spirit realm, on that March afternoon, when I got there, I knew God was up to something because they had that week surveyed the property and there was a stake in every corner, and I walked every corner and I spoke over just the way God told me to, and I took possession of our property. And I looked at the price and thought, this is going to take more faith. But see, the Lord had already spoken years before and told us how much money to believe for. And it's more than enough. Because that's our God. Right?
Yes.
Faith takes God at his word and acts like it's true. I don't know about you. Would you feel set up? And I came walking across the porch. And I said, I hesitate to ask, but how about now? And God's so faithful. He said, yeah, but you're going to split your time. And I thought, I've won the lottery. He just said yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? He just said yes. It's been 15 years, and he said yes. Faith works. What changed in there? Well, what changed in there was the second element. See, in the beginning, there was a lot of selfishness that was involved. I wanted it because who doesn't want to live at the beach? Who wouldn't want to own 5 acres of maritime forest and live in what looks like a park? I mean, it's gorgeous. Who wouldn't want to be where it's just, I mean, the deer prancing through the yard, the ospreys, the geese. I mean, it's just amazing. We went down, and the first night I got in bed, and our bedroom looks out over the Sound. I couldn't sleep. And I couldn't sleep because it's so pretty. All I wanted to do is just sit there and look at it. The next morning, sunrise. I mean, I woke up with the sun because there's nothing but windows on that side of the house. And I woke up and I looked out and I thought, God, you're so good. You are so good. This is just absolutely beautiful. It rained every day that we were there, and you know what? It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. But the thing that had changed was my love for God and my love for the people that we'll be ministering to is rooted in what he spoke to us about that house. Faith working by love. You have to have both. Add to your faith. Well, what are we adding to it? We're adding virtue. That's a word you use every day, right? What is virtue? Virtue is that moral purity that means I'm clean before my God.
Yes.
The you've probably seen the bumper sticker, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. The apple with the Band-Aid on it. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that my God spoke and said, be perfect as I am perfect. Well, how am I supposed to do that? Well, if you could do it in the natural, you wouldn't need any faith. Come on.
Yes.
You do it by faith. By faith, I pull to me what God has already said is true about me. How many of you here this morning, you raise your hand and say, I'm righteous?
Absolutely.
How do you know? Because the Word says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not painted righteous. I'm righteous to the core. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Add to your virtue knowledge. That knowledge is prove it. Prove it. Well, how are you going to prove it? You're going to prove it by doing it. How do I know it's true? What does the Bible say? How many people do we know who say, oh, you're not one of those name it and claim it churches, are you? Why, yes. Yes, we are. Well, how can you believe that? Well, it's pretty simple. The Bible says, right? The Bible says, you will have whatsoever you say. But it doesn't happen just because you say it. If that was the case, these people who go around repeating things all the time, boy, they'd just be rolling in it. Because they'd figure out what to say and then they'd say it. And if just saying it was all it took, they'd be on top of it. But you have to say in faith, motivated by love. Say in faith, motivated by love. And most people don't know enough scripture to attach faith to it. So you start talking to them about giving, and they don't know enough about what the Word says about giving to make sure that their giving is giving in faith. They're doing their giving out of religious rites, out of route, out of routine. They do it because, well, that's what we do. You know, it's this point of the service. We go and we give. Church we attended in Rhode Island, I was reminded seeing the bowls up here. They had a great big basin set up in front of the altar. And I remember pastors standing up and saying, now here's the way this works for you new people. The Bible says, bring your tithes into the storehouse. So therefore, this bucket is up here for you to bring your tithes. But don't panic when you sit down and find them passing the plate, because it also says, give offerings. This is for your tithes. The plate coming around is for your offerings. And they got you twice every service. If you're not in faith, you get offended. They're just out for my money. That's everything they do is about money. All I ever hear about is money, money, money. Listen, if you get offended about people talking about money, check your heart. Because where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart's attached. Add to your knowledge, self-control. Oh, come on, smile. Self-control. We all want to talk about self-control until it applies to us. My wife says I talk about chocolate cake way too much. Because when we start talking about self-control, I usually go to the chocolate cake illustration. Because when I was growing up, going to grandma's house, chocolate cake was the treat. Grandma's chocolate cake, oh, man, it makes my mouth water just thinking about it. There were seven of us kids, plus other people who were there at the time. So you sit down. We always had to eat in shifts because our table only held six people. So by the time third shift got there, you were hoping you weren't on third shift, because if you're a third shift, who knows what'll be left. And nobody got chocolate cake until everybody had eaten dinner. And I can remember telling my brother before he went and grabbing him by the collar and said, hurry up. Everybody poke the person next to you and say, self-control. Supreme victory over appetites and desires. Self-control. I'll tell you right now that I don't care who you are. Without the Holy Ghost, there is no self-control. You may have some control, but you will not have victory. Temptations, tests, and trials will wear you out. And then when you fail, guilt and condemnation will pile on. But by the Holy Ghost, we have self-control. Right? It's one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
Add to self-control, perseverance. I don't want perseverance. That sounds like work. What is perseverance? It's sticking to it till it comes. It's staying in faith regardless of the timeline. Perseverance. I keep on pressing in. My dad was a Marine. You know what the Marine Corps mascot is? It's a bulldog. You know why? Because Marines don't quit. No quit. And if they can do that in the natural, we got no excuse in the spiritual. We've got more power. We've got more authority. We've got more going for us that guarantees our victory if we'll just stay with it. We do not quit. We persevere. And he who endures to the end will be saved. Perseverance, godliness. Godliness, that's one of those words that we read it and we miss it. Godliness is godlikeness. So how do you behave like God? Well, it's easy. The better you know him, the easier it is to behave like him, because you see him as he's in action and then you behave accordingly. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. That's godliness.
Yes.
Can we do the same thing?
Absolutely.
Y'all got to be more responsive than that, because otherwise I just kind of camp on the spot. Can we be more like God? Because we were actually created to be like God. Right? Go back to Genesis chapter 1. You were created in the image and likeness of God. What does that mean? You were created to think like God and to act like God. You ought to get excited right there.
That's right.
You were created to think like God. The Bible tells us not to be small-minded. How can you be small-minded if you think like God? God looked around and said, let's see, what can we do today? How about let's make a universe? Well, that didn't take very long. How about we fill it? Well, that didn't take very long. How about we get down to the details? Well, that didn't take very long. How about we tailor-make a garden? There's something missing. I can hear Satan now going, a gnome? A man. I need a man. The Bible says God created us on purpose. He created our earth to be inhabited. He did what he did on purpose. Why? Because he needed to demonstrate his love. And if we think like God and act like God, we will not be able to avoid the need to demonstrate our love. Now, the perversion of the world takes that and turns it into something sexual. I can't help myself. I have to fulfill my drives. Right? Isn't that the way the world is? Come on. Faithfulness in the world. I mean, when's the last time you heard a celebration of faithfulness in the world? I mean, they look at somebody who's been married for 10 years as an oddity. What a shame. They look at somebody who's been married 50 years as a miracle. And it is a miracle. It is, because you can't do it naturally. It requires a supernatural component to do that faithfully. Faith operating by love. You have to have both components. Add to godliness brotherly kindness. How highly do you value the person sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you? See, in the natural, I hate people. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? But in the natural, I find people annoying, cumbersome, tedious, offensive, irritating, and inconvenient. And that's the ones I like. My brother asked me one time, he said, Have you ever thought about whether or not you could be an assassin? So you really shouldn't ask that question. He said, why? And I said, because you were the motivation. There are many times when I have plotted your demise, and you deserved every one of them. But without Jesus, it's easy. See, without Jesus, there's no reason not to. Without Jesus, just live whatever way you want. Because after all, what's the point without love? I can be a serial killer. I can be an axe murderer because who cares? Especially if I don't think I'm going to answer for it. Why not? Somebody I was talking to recently, they said, I had to stop listening to true crime programs. Okay, why? So I started putting names with characters. I said, I understand. I had to stop groundhog hunting, the same reason.